Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Christian education does not mean Christian salvation. This is Wretched Radio on a Witness Wednesday. Prepare to meet Tash from a Christian home, attending a Christian school, but these days, a whole lot more postmodern.
Why is there something instead of nothing?
Why is there something instead of nothing? Because that's how it was made, and we just got to accept that fact.
All right, the universe was made. Who made it?
The Most High.
And who is that?
That's whoever you want it to be, you know? I'm not going to tell you who you think it is, but in my eyes, it's just the most powerful, the Most High, the one who put us all here.
Did you just tell me I can believe the Most High is anything I want it to be?
I mean, I'm not here to make your decisions for you. So if you want to believe the Most High is whatever, go for it.
I think you are the Most High. Am I correct?
You're not correct.
Okay. So I can't believe anything is the Most High.
I mean, you can.
Yeah, I just be wrong.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
So you're willing to... Okay, so if I said to you that garbage can over there is the Most High, you'd be willing to say, dude, you're wrong.
I wouldn't make a comment on it because it's not something I care about that much.
I'm a Christian, so let's just say I said, I think the Most High is Jesus Christ. Okay. Would you tell me I'm wrong?
I wouldn't.
Would you tell me I'm right?
I wouldn't.
So I'm going to try to make a truth claim that will either be true or false.
Okay.
Jesus is God. True or false?
Yeah, that depends on how you look at it. If it's you, it's true. You know what I'm saying? In my eyes, it's not about what you believe, it's the person you are. If you're morally doing the right things, you understand what's right from wrong.
Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States. True or false?
True.
George Washington was the first president of the United States. True or false?
True.
Jesus Christ is God. True or false?
I'm not going to answer that.
All right, so let me just ask you a question then on a personal level.
Okay.
The story of Christ and Christianity, do you know what it is?
No, I don't. I mean, I went to a Christian school for a little bit, and we were taught like the basic things.
How many years did you go to that school?
A lot.
And they didn't tell you the story of Jesus Christ?
I mean, they did, but like, that's where I chose to not listen because...
All right, well, let me see if you'll just lend me your ear for just a moment and see if this rings a bell. And then I'm going to ask you one last time if it's true or not. So just prepare yourself for it.
Okay.
All right? All right. Here's what I intuit. I see a bunch of stuff. There's a stuff maker.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a conscience, that little courtroom in my brain that says, I have not been a good boy. I've done bad things. And I've got a concern about the afterlife, that when I die, things aren't looking up for me because I haven't lived the way that I know that I should have been living. Are you tracking with me so far?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So God, according to the Bible, is the unmoved mover. He's the one who created everything, you and me, your eyes, those plants, everything. He created everything. So he has ownership rights.
Within the Bible.
That's correct. Yeah. So I'm just sharing with you what the Bible says.
Okay, yeah.
So he's got ownership rights on you and me and everybody here on campus,
okay,
everywhere on the globe. He owns everything. And God, in a sense, is like our earthly court system. Because he is just and he is righteous, he's going to judge everybody for their law breaking. So the question is, what are God's laws? Do you remember that from going to Christian school?
No.
Let's just call it the Ten Commandments, right? Right. So here's my question for you, and I want to say this right, Tash, right?
Tash with the T.
All right. Tash, have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
Stolen anything?
Yes.
Looked at a woman with lust?
Yes.
taken God's name in vain, used his name lowly, OMG, to express disgust or anger?
Yes.
Okay, so I just went through, I think, 4 commandments.
Can I ask you something?
Yes, sir.
Have you done the same?
Oh, dude, I got you whooped. I'm sure I've told more lies than you. I'm sure I've looked with all of it. I have absolutely...
You are a little bit older than me.
Just a touch. Regardless, I have no problem admitting that because I know it's true.
For sure.
So now the question is, you die, I die.
Mm-hmm.
We are taken into God's courtroom.
Okay.
He's sitting on the bench. The books are open on Taj's life, and he knows everything. I mean, the stuff you don't want your parents to know, stuff you don't want anybody on campus to know.
Relax.
Your thought life, he's got it recorded. So now he's just and he's righteous,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't like law breaking. And because he is just, he must punish lawbreakers. Taj, would God find you innocent or guilty?
He would find me guilty.
So if God is just, what should God do with you? Should he send you to heaven or should he send you to hell?
Well, I mean, I hope they serve beer in hell.
Well, according to the Bible, they don't. In fact, it describes that it's thirst. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody like not having water for days and weeks. Your tongue swells up, sticks to the roof. It's really horrible.
Can't be good.
Yeah, so there's not even a drop of water for you in hell. So the question, though, that you evaded was, are you going there?
I mean, I implied I was. I mean, yeah, if that was a... That was the case, I would be going.
All right, now I'm going to dip back into your Christian school upbringing.
Okay.
What did God do so that sinners like you and me don't have to go to hell? What did he do so that your court case could be dismissed?
I mean, I guess forgive them, like...
Forgave.
Okay, that's kind of in there.
But here's
the problem, though. All right, let's just say you get hauled into a court here on Earth. Okay. You're guilty. The judge knows it. You are going down, and the judge just says, "But I'm going to let him go." He wouldn't be a just judge, would he? He'd be unjust because he's not upholding the laws. Correct.
Correct.
So if God just forgives, he'd be unjust, and he's not unjust. So we need a mechanism. You've got a fine. It's got to be paid. Who paid your fine, Taj?
Me.
How?
I work for it.
How?
I work at a job.
Yeah, but who's going to pay your fine to God?
To God?
Yeah.
What's the fine?
Hell.
I guess me.
How are you going to get your court case dismissed? You've got a debt to God. How are you going to pay it?
I guess I'm going to have to do some time.
You'd have to do some time, and that is our problem. We'd have to do time, and it's an eternity in hell. All right, so I'll tell you, and then I'm going to ask you that truth question. Jesus Christ claimed to be God, so fully human, fully God. He came to this earth to keep all of the laws, because you and I can't. And then he was beaten by men. He was hung on a cross. He was receiving the wrath of God on himself, even though he committed no sins, because there was something happening on the cross. God was satisfying his wrath by pouring out his punishment on Jesus Christ so that sinners could be forgiven, so that if sinners will repent, put their trust in Jesus Christ, God will forgive all of their sins, and he will credit all of the goodness that Jesus performed to that person so that the person can be just and be made righteous, so that God can be just by satisfying the debt. He paid it on your behalf. That is what Jesus Christ did for sinners. Now, here's the question, and you're not going to offend anybody. Is that true or false?
What you just said, that's true.
Right? So,
from what I know, yeah, that's true.
So that was big of you to say that, right?
I mean, not really. I just kind of agreed with what you said.
Are you just patronizing me?
No, not at all. I mean, it just, honestly, man, like, you were talking for a long time and your words were big, so I kind of lost you with that.
I'm sorry for that.
You're good.
All right, you're a criminal. You've got a fine to pay. Jesus paid it for you.
Uh-huh.
That's true or false?
For me?
False. No. Okay, so it's false. So that didn't happen. Jesus didn't die on a cross for sinners.
Not for me.
Well, I think you're kind of reverting back to like your belief making it true or not. Okay, my belief does not make the garbage can God.
Yeah, but are you saying like he died on a cross and then like there's documentation for that?
Well, the documentation is the Bible.
The Bible? Well, I mean, the Bible talks a lot of crazy things.
Like what?
So does, I mean, every religious text talks crazy, you know what I'm saying, with stories that you just think are not even like real sometimes.
Yeah, I understand how you would think that, but if God created the universe, he can do miracles, right?
Sure, but like, you know, to me it's not really what the stories like are about. It's more like what the like moral of the story is, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really necessarily look at like, oh, this man brought like hella animals on his ship and then like, you know what I'm saying, what Moses' story, right? Like, but it's more of just like, you know, you gotta read between the lines.
All right.
But like,
all right. Well, Tash, you've been very generous with your time. I just dumped a whole lot of stuff on you, yeah, right?
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, that's good then. All right. So we depart friends.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Have you ever felt like the world's gone a little loopy? Well, we agree, which is why we've assembled the ultimate dream team to tackle it head on. Later this year, 8 big brains and even bigger hearts will come together to bring light to the darkness. First up, we have Pastor Tim Challies, the blog king and co-founder of Cruciform Press. We'll keep you grounded with practical, faith-filled guidance. And if you're feeling a bit spiritually lost, Pastor John Krotz has you covered with more degrees than a thermometer and wisdom that'll set your soul on fire. And for the Gen Z men out there wondering if there's more to life than TikTok, say hello to Dr. Adam Tyson. And if you have marriage and parenting woes, Pastor Brad Bigney's wisdom will help you navigate those tricky waters. It all gets underway later this year, and we'd love it if you could join us in making a difference. Just visit wretched.org/donate to learn more. And let's make our brave new world a little less crazy together. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
If and you think there are assaults on biblical truth in the good old U.S. of A., oh, travel overseas. Those assaults do not stay inside of our borders, and that is why Dr. John MacArthur, leading the Master's Academy International mini seminaries all throughout the world in 17 different nations, equipping pastors to rightly divide the word, fill empty pulpits, and defend the truth.
The foundation of all ministry is having a firm grasp of the authority and inerrancy of Scripture. The age of tolerance in which we live has caused guys to soften their message, which means you eliminate certain things in Scripture or you soften the message. Young guys that are coming into the ministry need to reaffirm their commitment to the authority and power of Scripture.
Please support that effort through the Masters Academy International, wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
We all know life is tough sometimes, right? We all deal with stuff, stress, worry, depression. It's just a part of being human. But what if there was a way to look at these struggles differently? Well, that's what Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford is all about. It's not your usual radio show. No, Dr. Gifford talks about real issues, you know, the kind we all face. And he doesn't just talk about them, he brings biblical clarity to them. So whether you're dealing with anxiety or feelings of loneliness, or you're just trying to figure things out, I highly recommend Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's not about quick fixes or empty promises. It's just honest talk about life and how to navigate it biblically. If you're curious, why not give it a try? Give it a listen right now. New episodes come out every Saturday morning. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts or transform.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. From brokenness to wholeness.
Books of the Bible. When Habakkuk saw violence and injustice in Judah, he complained to God. God promised to use the Chaldeans to punish Judah. But Habakkuk complained that they were even worse than Judah. God said that he would punish the Chaldeans after using them to purify Judah. God uses all things for his glory and the good of his people, even evil things. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Which comes first, faith or thinking. This is Wretched Radio. It seems that good thinking must precede good believing. You got to get the facts straight before you can believe correctly. That seems to be the way that it is, but that is not the way the Bible describes it. And I believe the young man you're about to meet proves that. An individual must have their believing changed before their thinking can be improved. Case in point, meet Peyton.
Those programs that run the computer, I'm going to try to persuade you, nobody wrote them. They all happen by themselves. You ready?
You can try.
All right. Well, it's taken billions of years, but a bunch of materials got together, a lot of time, a lot of chance, but they got together in just the right order to convey the right information to communicate to the computer. I believe that computer programs happened all by themselves. Do you think I'm right or wrong?
Incorrect.
How come you think I'm wrong?
Well, we can see people programming.
I'll go a step further. I don't need to see anybody program it. I know that it's programmed because it's intelligent information in a correct order, rightly designed, communicating to somebody that can understand the information, and that had to come from somebody who's intelligent.
Yes.
All right. Who do you think made the universe, Peyton?
I don't think there's any way to answer that question.
How's about nothing created everything? It got together over the course of billions of years. It just happened. All of the intelligence that we see, just luck, time, chance, it happened by itself. Right, wrong, or incorrect?
I say that's right. It's just chance.
Now, wait a second. You just told me a computer program didn't write itself, but you're telling me this took care of itself?
I guess I can see where the discrepancy is. Yeah. I just say it's chance.
Okay, but how's about we can at least conclude there has to be somebody who made it?
Yeah, something.
Intelligent.
Intelligent, sure.
All right. How's about God?
I don't know. It had to be something. I guess you could call it God.
Something created because we see intelligence ordered, and there had to be somebody to communicate that intelligence and order it and design it just like a computer program. Otherwise, there'd be really nothing.
I guess so.
I think we've got agreement. There is a God. Fair enough?
We can use that term, yeah.
All right. Now the question is, who might that God be?
I don't know.
I'm going to give it a shot. I think there's a creator because there's a creation. I think the creation tells us a limited number of things about the creator. He's big, he's powerful, he's creative, he's artistic, he's just. I believe that God is defined best in the Bible.
No.
Why?
Because you're just saying he's a just God, yes? He created everything, yes? So why are there like so much bad stuff in the world?
That's a great question. I'll give it a go. But I want to ask you a question about that badness. Do you think you're a bad person?
No.
Can I test you on that?
Sure.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
How many?
A lot.
So if I told a lot of lies, what would you call me? You're going to give me a name. You know that I tell a lot of lies.
Liar.
Uh-huh. Stolen anything?
Yes.
So I'm sitting next to a...
Stealer.
If you're from Pittsburgh, otherwise you are a thief.
Oh, a thief. Right. I get
all
it.
All right, this is going to get a little personal. You don't have to answer.
All right.
You ever looked at a woman with lust?
Indeed.
All right. Have you ever murdered anybody?
Yes. No, I'm just playing. No.
All right, you ever been angry at somebody?
Yes.
Called somebody a foul name?
Yes.
Okay, so the desire really was murder. It was murder of the heart. It wasn't the act, but it was murder of the heart. Has God always been first in Peyton's life?
No.
I think I just gave you about five commandments, five laws. And it turns out you profess that you're a lying, thieving, adulterous murderer at heart who doesn't love his God.
Yes.
So we've determined Peyton maybe isn't a good person, but Peyton is a lawbreaker.
He might be.
All right. So let's just keep focusing on Peyton for a moment. Let's just say Peyton. We don't want this to happen today, but it could.
It could.
Lightning strikes, takes out Peyton.
Right.
You die. You are brought into the presence of God, who is the just judge of all the world.
Yeah.
And God opens up the books on Peyton. And he knows everything you've done in darkness, everything that you've looked at on the internet you shouldn't have, the way that you maybe treated your siblings, disrespected your parents. Everything is brought into the light. Would God find Peyton innocent or guilty?
I would say guilty of all those things. So yeah, guilty for sure.
All right. So if God is just and he doesn't just turn a blind eye to justice and say, well, but you know what, Peyton, he studied computer science. He's a nice young man. I'm going to let him go. He can't do that because that's not just.
Yeah.
Should God send you to heaven or hell?
In my opinion, I think heaven.
So a judge should let a criminal live in a mansion.
See, but it's different because God, like, created everything. He created me. He knew what I was going to do, you know?
Well, I'm glad we've got agreement on that.
Look, I'm not saying I think that that's what happened, but in this case, God created me and he knew what was going to happen. So he created me just to, like, sin. So, like, why would you put me in hell for doing what you told me to do?
He didn't tell you to sin.
He didn't tell me to sin, but he knew everything that was going to happen. He created me.
Do you have kids?
Not yet, no.
Someday you will. When your kid sins, who's responsible for the sin? You or the child?
It depends on the situation, I think.
All right, your child is 20 and speeds down Highway 85. You going to get a ticket?
No, I'm not getting a ticket.
Right. You're not responsible for the behavior of your children. God is not responsible for our behavior. We are.
Yes, that's true.
So heaven or hell for Peyton?
I'm still going to say heaven.
Why now?
I don't know. I just feel like I do, like, more good than bad, you know? I've done bad things, but a lot of it was out of ignorance, you know?
Let's give it a go in an earthly court system, which I don't think is quite as just as God's, but nevertheless, let's just say your next door neighbor killed 10 people and burned down 5 houses. He stands before the judge and says, Judge, I know I'm guilty, but I've done some good stuff. What's the judge going to say?
He's going to put him in jail.
Our goodness has nothing to do with our crimes, right?
I guess, yes.
All right, so you're guilty. That excuse is gone. Heaven or hell, round 3.
I guess I'm going in.
Well, okay. I'm glad we have agreement on that, too. Okay. You're a hoot. All right. So, Peyton, it makes sense. If we're guilty before God,
right,
that's the right thing for him to do, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Did you ever go to church as a kid?
Yes.
What did God do so Peyton doesn't have to go to hell?
He died on the cross for our sins.
That's good news.
Right.
So you, a guilty criminal, can be set free because Jesus satisfied God's judgment and wrath on your behalf.
Yes.
That sounds like good news to me.
It does.
Here's the question, though. Is it true?
I don't think we can answer that question.
Why not?
It's impossible. You have to die to understand, to know.
Well, unless you read the historical account and the teachings of Jesus Christ himself and the eyewitness accounts of him dying on a cross and rising from the dead, we can either trust that or not.
Yeah, you can either trust it or not. And I think it's like a big game of telephone. Everybody's like, I saw that happen. Oh, I saw that happen too. And it's just like, you know, kind of gets inflated.
Yeah,
I kind of think that's what happens.
You know, okay, there's a field of study called textual criticism, mm-hmm. right? These are really smart people in dusty buildings who look at books from antiquity, mm-hmm. and they've got standards and criteria for determining if a book is accurate. So Caesar's Gallic Wars, Homer's Iliad, they can determine, are the books that we have today the same as what was written at the time of the author? Mm-hmm. It's called textual criticism. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what textual critics agree, whether they are Christian or not, the number one most authenticated, accurate book in antiquity is the Bible, hands down. We know that the words of the Bible that we have in the 21st century are exactly the words that were written 2,000 years ago. Now, that doesn't mean it's true, but that kind of disqualifies the whole telephone.
I didn't mean it in that sense. Like, the telephone thing is like, what if they saw it happen, but they didn't write the book as soon as it happened? They wrote it later on. And who's to say what they were writing was even what really happened? What if they just wanted to keep something going?
Those are fair questions. But you said that it's a 2,000-year-old book, so who can know if it's right? Well, textual critics say it is right. It is accurate. But we're confronted then with the question, is it truth? So here's what we got. Jesus said, I'm the truth. It's not an abstract concept. He embodies truth because he is truth. He doesn't write the standard for truth and then try to attain it. He is it. He's the bar. So Jesus is either your God, your Savior, the truth, or he's not. Mm-hmm. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right. You got hopefully a long life in front of you, but this day, sitting on this concrete, you're presented with the truth.
Yes.
Right? And this is not to, like, twist your arm and coerce you. Mm-hmm. This is a good offer for you that your Maker is willing to forgive you because he loves you despite your rejection of him, despite your rebellion against him. He says, I love the world. I love sinners, and I'm willing to forgive them if they will repent, turn from their sins, put their trust in Jesus Christ, slate not only wiped clean, so not just forgiven of your crimes, but all of the righteousness of Jesus, that gets credited to your account. So in other words, you give Jesus your rap sheet, he gives you his resume. You can be seen as the righteousness of God in Christ. I personally think that that is the most important and best offer you'll ever hear. So Peyton, you are a very nice young man. I'm going to leave, but I'm just going to ask you, would you please consider what I've shared with you today? Because if it's not true, you don't have a worry in the world. But if it is true, you're on that AC/DC highway to hell, and God wants to get you off and forgive you. Will you at least consider these claims?
Yeah, I'll consider it. For sure, I'll consider it.
Do you have a Bible? Yes, you do. You've got a phone in your hand.
Yeah, I have a Bible.
Maybe crack it open. And before you put your head on your pillow, think about these things, because I would hate for you to die and go to hell. I'd hate for you to not be in a right relationship with your Maker and enjoy everlasting life. Fair enough?
That's fair enough, yeah.
All right, man. Thanks.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, in a move that won't surprise many of you, British National Health Services are now required to ask men if they're pregnant before administering x-rays. I'm not lying. The UK healthcare system has decided to take Expect the Unexpected to a whole new level. The guidance, which applies to all patients aged 12 to 55, regardless of their physical appearance, is part of a broader inclusivity initiative. The goal? To be mindful of non-binary, transgender, and intersex patients. Now, look, I'm honestly all for being considerate. I really am. But asking a bearded gentleman sporting a World's Best Dad t-shirt if he's expecting might be taking things a little bit too far. Now, I'm no medical expert, and you should know that by now, but I'm pretty sure if a man shows up pregnant for an x-ray, we've got way bigger issues than inclusivity. Moving to a more somber note, a recent report from the House Judiciary Committee has revealed a troubling case involving an illegal immigrant charged with a heinous crime. The gentleman who entered the U.S. illegally in January of last year has been accused of sexually assaulting and murdering an 11-year-old girl in Pasadena, Texas, just 7 months after being allowed to resettle by our current administration. The man, who was 17 at the time of entry, qualified as an unaccompanied alien child and was handed over to the Department of Health and Human Services for resettlement. He stated that he came to the U.S. for academic and work opportunities and to live a better life. Tragically, his actions have now devastated a family and community. Part of the broader, the disastrous immigration policies of the current administration has real-world consequences for our American citizens, and the effects of these policies will be felt for years to come. In other news, it seems that freedom of speech is facing more challenges around the globe. In the UK, the government is issuing warnings like "think before you post" as part of their crackdown on social media expression. And while, look, targeting people who incite violence is completely understandable, there are realistic concerns about the potential overreach of these policies. The Online Safety Act goes into effect in early 2025, and it introduces a new standard for prosecuting speech, making it a crime to share information known to be false with perceived intent to cause harm. Look, I don't know about you, but that sounds about clear as mud. Meanwhile, ESPN sportscaster Kirk Herbstreit has been making some waves with his outspoken stance on men and women's sports. Good for him. When he was asked if men belonged in women's sports, Herbstreit did not mince words, saying, "Absolutely not. It's a ridiculous question." And he later doubled down on that commitment, saying, "I don't care if people want to hear it." He used some more expressive language than that. Quote, "I've been biting my tongue on a lot of topics for 3 years. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Apostle of our Confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Maybe, just maybe, this could be an evangelistic tactic that works for you. This is Wretched Radio. Out to the University of Georgia we go to do a bit of an experiment. You see, I wanted to kind of play around with an idea to perhaps position the bad news of the gospel with some information that would perhaps keep people from being so argumentative. And I got the idea from Blaise Pascal. He was the fellow who was pondering why so many people are becoming atheists. Now, this goes back centuries, and he was trying to noodle, why is it that so many people aren't following in the faith? And he came up with a musing, which he never fully fleshed out. What if we present God in such a way that he becomes so amazing, people will just wish that he actually existed? And then we demonstrate that he does, because that's how amazing God is. He is the greatest thing that we can imagine. So I decided to take that idea to go out to a campus and position my presentation of the gospel in that way. Can I tell you this is something you should do every time? Absolutely not. Might it be something that is helpful for you? Perhaps. Why? Because when I did this, I did not encounter anybody who got really snarky. Doesn't mean that it's some sort of Teflon way to present the gospel, but I will say it did help the conversation go smoothly. So what you're about to hear is a conversation that I had with a young man from Ireland who went to a Catholic school, who was told by a priest, why don't you just become an agnostic? Yeah, not kidding. I presented the gospel by framing it with, what if God were like this? Would you want to know that God? I gave it a go. You're going to eavesdrop, and then you can determine, is that something you can use or not? Prepare to meet Tiernan.
All right, so this is Thea the Pooch, and you are originally from Ireland.
Yes, sir. I am. Cool. Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you a question. This is just a bit of a thought experiment. All right. I want to start with the concept of God. All right. Do you have any sort of imagination about what you think God is?
I do. I actually, in Ireland, most schools are Catholic, just based off of everyone being Catholic and the culture there. So I grew up in an environment where we were really religious. Like on Fridays in school, we would actually go to mass, and across the street there was a church. And when I came here, my parents put us in like private Catholic schools. And throughout the semester, I asked a lot of questions, and I got a lot of good answers, and I got a lot of iffy answers, and I wasn't sure what to think. And I kind of was just trying to figure it out for myself at that point. Like all the help with the church or the school, we had like priests and stuff in the school, and all the religion teachers, I would ask them anything I could anytime I had a question. And they all loved that I was so like involved with it and trying to figure it out. But Mr. Eaglin, my teacher for apologetics senior year, he told me at the end of the year, I think it might be a good idea for you to take a few years and just be agnostic. I think it would be a good idea for you to explore other faiths. And if this one isn't working for you, who's to say that we're the right one? And everyone has the right to believe what they believe. Everything has their own background and their own origins. So I think you should go and explore. So that's what I've been doing. But my family is predominantly Irish Catholic. So I do go to church, and I do still believe in a God. I'm just not sure to what degree or what sense.
Tiernan, right? All right. Tiernan, what was the big thing that you were stumbling over?
It was more of like how they would view the scriptures. It wasn't like the stories. It seemed like the way they were taking away certain things, it almost seemed like they were doing it to pick and choose to make it look better rather than how it actually went. And I was kind of concerned with that, and I kind of felt like it was of course it was like, this is how religion is. Like, you do just have to believe. You have to believe that it was all done in this good faith, and that's what faith is. Like, you just have to believe it was done for the betterment of humanity, and that this was actually how it was, and this is what God gave down to us.
Well, but what? Okay, so for instance, in the Bible, what was the thing that was troubling you, or what behavior or what story was causing you consternation?
I don't know if it was a story per se. I think it was just the modern Catholic Church. I think with like media, and I was very involved, like keeping up with all of it, and the way I just saw it evolve, and the way I saw like how Catholics were and like how they were viewed by the world, and how they have such a heavy influence in the world. Like Pope Francis is one of the only non like world leaders that is regarded as a world leader. People listen to him. People actually like have events with him. And like, I understand he's the head of the biggest church in the world, but it kind of seemed to me like church and state, separation of church and state. And like it seemed like somewhere along the way, they felt that the religion would die out, or would not die out, but wouldn't be as strong if they couldn't root the ties to those like the state to make sure people were following laws and all that. And it got and ended up getting to a point to me where I started to believe myself that I'm not sure if it was all done out of God or if this guy Jesus was just a really good guy, like a guy who preached to the people. And back then, like, it was rougher times, like it was different times. People, like, a lot of things were just easier. Murder was, you walk over to the next town, stab someone, walk away, and that's it. So it was just that the moral structure that they built was, I thought it was really great. And I do still live my life by that. I'd live my life by the morals of the Catholic Church, definitely. But in my opinion, I just believe that they kind of went too far with their reach.
If there were a God that would be willing to wipe your slate clean, so all the bad stuff that you've put out, he's willing to completely forgive. What if there were a God who was willing to take any feelings of shame that you might have for doing those things, whatever it was, public, private, and he could make that go away? What if there were a God that was willing to actually give you hope? Not just like this was a pretty good day, but a hope that there is something transcendent, something bigger, something better in the future.
More meaningful.
More meaningful. You know, more lofty than just this.
And that's my, I guess, reason for not shying away from religion as a whole. And like I said, I'm not against Catholicism. I like...
Well, let me finish my thought experiment on you, all right? Okay, that's right. What if this God could give you purpose in your life? In other words, when you wake up in the morning, there's a reason to get up. And if this God could remove that fear that we all tend to have, that if we were to die today, that it might not go well for us in the afterlife. If there were an entity in the universe that could do all of that because he is good and he is kind and he is loving and he's willing to deal with all of those problems for you, would that God be of interest to you, Tiernan?
Yes, he would. And he still is, in my opinion. I do think it is, like, the whole idea of it to me is just something that a lot of people, like I said, I went to Catholic schools all my life, and a lot of people genuinely still find it great. Like, my younger brother, he's a soccer player at Belmont Abbey, and he is the most religious person I know.
Then let me keep reasoning with you just a bit. Mm-hmm. All right. You and if you don't feel like tagging along, you just stop me. All right. I think that sense that we have inside of our brain that promotes feelings like guilt and shame and a fear of dying, I think we're hardwired for that.
I think I could see that.
And I think that we have that sense inside of us because it was built into us as an alarm mechanism to warn us there's danger ahead. There is, I look around, I see the creation, I intuitively know there's a creator. I had this sense of justice, and I realize I have not put out good things. I've done bad things, either verbally or physically, even in my mind. I've got this sense, this is shameful, I'm guilty, and I'm going to have to pay a price for this. I think that comes from your maker. Because you're made in his image, and he gave you that conscience so that you could understand that you need forgiveness. You can't pay for your own bad karma. You can't do a guilty criminal can't just erase his debt by walking a little old lady across the street.
Yeah.
Justice must be satisfied. God, knowing that you can't satisfy that justice yourself, to demonstrate his kindness and his love for you, sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take on human flesh to represent us, to be just like us in that he had a human body, but he was fully God. He never did those bad. He never generated anything that would be bad karma. He always did what was right, always behaved, always did what he should be doing, always loved the way that he was supposed to, never lusted, never lied, never dishonored his parents. He was fulfilling all righteousness. He went to a cross where he was hung, beaten, bruised for you, for your iniquities. God was pouring out his wrath on his son on your behalf so that you could be forgiven, so that your guilt could be removed, your shame could be erased, you wouldn't have to fear death anymore because he conquered death by rising from the dead. And you can be in a right relationship with that God. If that's true, Tiernan, would you want to be in a relationship with that deity?
That's right. Gonna leave it right there. A good old-fashioned radio cliffhanger. Prepare to hear Tiernan's response. Does my positioning of the gospel in this way yield any sort of positive fruit when we return on Wretched Radio? You'll hear, yeah, and no, it doesn't. Next on Wretched Radio. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you feeling lost in a world that tells you you're toxic for just being a man? Well, it's time to cut through all of the noise. Introducing the Gentleman Event, where real masculinity beats biblical wisdom. Dr. John Grotz will arm you with 10 powerful mini-lectures on August 16th and 17th, where you'll learn how to earn genuine respect and admiration, the keys to stepping up and leading well, and God's blueprint for authentic manhood. Because contrary to popular belief, your Y chromosome is not a curse. It's Friday evening, August the 16th, or Saturday morning, August 17th. Choose one or both sessions. Look, don't let society define you. Define yourself through the truth of God's word. Sign up right now at wretched.org/gentleman. That's wretched.org/gentleman. It's the Gentleman Event, because real men aren't toxic, they're transformative. And dads, bring your sons, because it's time to man up the right way.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's faithfulness. Since God is truth, he has no desire to break his promises. Since he is omnipotent, nothing can cause him to break promises. Since his promises are based on his eternal plan, God will always keep them. Scripture calls God a rock, a fortress, and a bulwark, never failing because he is faithful. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's get back out to Georgia State University. If, and you recall, tried to position the gospel with Tiernan. If this were all really, really true, isn't this amazing? Wouldn't you want to know the God who died for sinners? Prepare to hear Tiernan's answer as you go about the business of determining, is this something I could utilize in a witness encounter?
God was pouring out his wrath on his son on your behalf so that you could be forgiven, so that your guilt could be removed, your shame could be erased. You wouldn't have to fear death anymore because he conquered death by rising from the dead. and you can be in a right relationship with that God. If that's true, Tiernan, would you want to be in a relationship with that deity?
I would, yeah. But the words that you use there, if that's true, is what I'm trying to find.
Fair enough. Right. That's very fair. All right. So let's now see if we can jump over the if. All right. So tell me, what would be your big objection? If you can, as best you can, Tiernan, forget about your Roman Catholic past. Just you sitting here on this stoop. What is it that would keep you from being in a right relationship with that God?
I would actually cite the state of the world right now, state of humanity, the way things are. You look around like the news. I'm a finance major and I read the news all the time. I invest in stocks. When I first started when I was 12, like I genuinely became depressed for a little bit. I had to go get like psychological help because they told me to limit my intake of the news.
It's bad out there. Now let's see. Let's see. That's your hurt. That's a hurdle. You maybe have more, but let's just see if the Christian worldview can explain that hurdle. All right. Because I don't think Buddhism can, and I don't think Hinduism can, but I think Christianity can. Go back to Genesis. You remember God created the world. And what did he say after each day that he created the world? It was, do you remember?
It was good. And it was
good. And when he finished, he said, it is very good. So God creates this beautiful planet with lovely things to enjoy. Then what did man do immediately in the garden? God said, don't eat of that tree. Don't eat the fruit. What did we do?
We ate the fruit.
What was the consequence?
We lost our paradise. We lost our eternal life, our clean souls.
That's it. There's your explanation. We see beauty because God made the place. We see evil because we brought it on ourselves. And there's a curse on this planet. So we see remnants of beauty, and yet we see terrible things happening. And I think that's the only worldview that harmonizes those two things that we observe.
That is actually something I have, in all my years, never been told. And that is a really good explanation. That is a really good argument for it.
Now, these other religions, I don't think that it's foolish to take a look at them to see, are they true? But I would just challenge you, Tiernan, as you think these things through, you're a smart guy. Do they answer questions like, why do I see good? Why do I see evil? How do these religions deal with my guilt problem? I can't shake it. What do I do with my shame? How do they get rid of the shame? How do they deal with my fear of death? How do they give me transcendent purpose beyond what I'm currently doing? I don't think any other religion can answer all of those questions in a harmonious way. Now, some of them might be able to answer one of them, but if they try to answer all of them, you put them together, they're not going to stand up, right? I think Christianity harmoniously explains what we observe and what we experience, and it takes care of all of those issues for you. So let me leave you with this, Tiernan. You're thinking about stuff a lot. But my friend, if you can't think of a major reason to surrender to Jesus Christ, I would suggest that today would be the day of salvation. You don't put it off. Because if what I'm explaining to you is true, it's not just an urgency because if you die, you'll go to hell, although that's true. But if you remember my premise, this God is good. This God is kind. He's willing to rescue you from yourself. He's willing to now take you, forgive you, bring you into a right relationship with you. And then the Bible says that he starts to do a work on our emotions, on our thinking, kind of rewires our brains. You've mentioned emotional and perhaps needing, like I think you said, some help in the past with these issues, some psychological help. God is your psychological helper. The reason that your brain struggles goes back to that garden again because of the fall. It's called the noetic effect of the fall. It's a theological term, which means we're under the curse. Everything groans because of the curse, including us. That's why our bodies fall apart and ache. That's why we don't think right. Brains just aren't wired right. God is now going to take your brain and rewire it and connect it to the right circuits. Rather than having a wrong version of the world, he's going to give you the right version of the way things are, and he's going to cause you to start thinking more and more in alignment with him, because he is reality. So Tiernan, that's what God offers you today, forgiveness of sins. You can be in a relationship with your maker. Shame gone, your past erased. The everlasting life is ahead of you, and he'll start helping you make sense of this life. And you'll increasingly go beyond anxiety and depression into a different realm. Peace and joy that surpasses your current understanding. He wants to give you life abundantly, not wealth, not perfect physical healing. He wants you to live rightly because you're living the way that he wants you to live. So that's the offer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is just a pleading with you to think this through urgently. I know you have been, but this is the best offer ever for you. Would you at least ponder that today?
I will, actually. And I really like that analogy you used of the rewiring the brain, because that, like, that makes sense. That clicks almost perfectly. The rewiring of the brain, it seems like those toxic thoughts that a lot of my friends who aren't in religion, that, like, the things that they have and the things that the way they view the world, it seems like the people that are in, like, my little brother, for example, is a really good example. He's never down. He gets down, of course, when, like, he doesn't meet a goal of his, or, like, gets a little upset, but, like, everyone does. But, like, in the grand scheme of things, he's a very happy person. And he rarely sees trouble and rarely complains, and usually he just figures things out for himself, and it always seems to work out for him. And that analogy really clicks, and I actually think after this I might go back. I do actually think I might look into it. Not go back immediately, of course. I would have to look back into it and start.
Can I encourage something?
Yeah.
All right, you've got a Bible, right?
I do have a Bible, yes.
I would like you to read the Gospel of Matthew, right? And as you may, it's pretty long. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's the longest gospel there is, but it shows you the life of Jesus. And I want you to look for something. There's a repeated theme. Jesus gave a Sermon on the Mount. You remember that. And he talked about, why are you worried? Why are you anxious? Look at the sparrows. God feeds them. Look at the lilies of the field. God clothes them. He makes them the beautiful things that they are. God takes care of them. Won't he take care of you, O you of little faith? And then we see stories throughout the Gospel of Matthew where, for instance, the disciples are out in the boat and the storm is raging and they're in a panic. Jesus is sound asleep, wakes up, and he asks them, why are you worried, O you of little faith? Peter, walking on water, sinks, and Jesus says, O you of little faith. He feeds thousands of people miraculously because he's God and he can do those things. And then the disciples are really worried because a big crowd of people are gathering and they don't think they can feed him. And he says, I just showed you miracle after miracle. O you of little faith. What he's getting at with that, Tiernan, is when we're anxious about stuff, it's because we're believing in something very puny. We're probably believing in ourselves or our abilities or our skills or our money or our context, our looks, our humor. But God wants us to believe in him. And when we put our trust in the greatest entity in the universe who is on our side, and he demonstrated by dying for you, you don't worry about anything else. Because your biggest problem has been solved. The greatest entity of the universe is on your side. Believe him, and your anxieties will dissipate. That's just one way that God will help you start to rethink about things and get things in order. Okay? So read the Gospel of Matthew. Watch for those stories. And if, as you are reading that, you recognize this is the only true and living God, so in other words, the other systems are wrong, then I would encourage you, call out to him, surrender. The biblical term is repent. You turn from your sins. It's not that you become perfect, but you don't want those anymore. You want him. You don't want to believe in God just because you don't have to go to hell. You want to believe in God because he's been so kind to save you from hell. We should desire to be with this God who is the best entity in the universe, and he'll save you, and he'll forgive you. He'll adopt you into his family, and then he'll start to fix your emotions and your thinking progressively as you keep reading his word. So don't go to the Catholic Church. Go to the Bible. Fair enough?
Fair enough. I will look into that. I'll try that. That's something I have not tried.
Did Tiernan get saved from my positioning of the gospel in a Blaise Pascal kind of way? Not on the spot. Perhaps he did afterwards. Don't know about that. So no, somebody didn't get saved from that method, but perhaps, just maybe, that will be a a way of framing the gospel for you that might at least keep you from getting into some of the typical squabbles and maybe even antagonistic conversations than perhaps you have had in the past? Please remember, your mileage may vary. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.